Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Langrat University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for March 24th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, a number of economists are expecting the Federal Reserve's bond purchasing program to end before the end of this year. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports on the new crop insurance programs and the 2014 Farm Bill. And the folk from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago will be by with the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter May wheat, 794.5. Settled down 9.5. July, 790.25, down 9. Soft May wheat settled at 714.5, up 21.25. July, also up 21.25 on the day at 716.75. May corn settled at 490, up 11. July, 494.5, up 10.75. December, 487.75, up 7.75. May soybeans settled at 1425.5, up 16.75. July, 1398.75, up 16.5. November soybeans settled at 1184, up 6.75. May soybean meal settled at 462, up $6.10. May soybean oil settled at 4084, down 18. Here are some last trades over on the livestock side. April live cattle, 144.10, up 10. March feeders, 176.65, up 162.5. And April lean hogs, 124.67.5, and they are down a dollar. And those are settlements and last trades on this Monday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says that wheat in the U.S. Central and Southern Plains and Midwest will not be harmed by freezing temperatures this week. Cold weather will maintain lower than usual soil temperatures in most of the Central and Northern Plains, Midwest, Delta, and Southeastern states through much of this work week. Precipitation this week in the U.S. will be light from the southwestern desert region through western Texas to central and western Kansas and portions of both Nebraska and Colorado. Warming is likely in key U.S. crop areas east of the Rocky Mountains after Wednesday of this week. U.S. Midwest precipitation will be greatest this week, late Wednesday into Friday, as warmer air overtakes the region. Rain totals of 1/4 to 3/4 inch will result. Several days of net drying may occur late this week through Monday in the U.S. Central and Southern Plains, Lower Midwest, Delta, and Southeastern states. Have you tried this website yet? WILLAG.org. Analysis daily on the marketplace, as well as USDA reports, and a link to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter, all at WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural futures is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He's sitting in this afternoon for Kurt Kimball, who is away from his desk. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Quite the day, a lot of green on the screen, double digits in a lot of commodities. Where would you like to begin?
Well, begin with last night. We actually had beans down 16, we had corn down 2, and we had wheat down 8. And then it took over to the plus side during the day, more of continuation of last week where one day you're up 20 and the next day you back off 40 from it. And the low on May beans this morning was 60 off of the high that we had Thursday. And on wheat, last week on Thursday, I think we were up 25 and closed 40 off of it. Well, we're back up today. So fund buying today, funds buying corn, funds buying wheat. Worries about old crop soybean supplies, worries about the weather in our wheat country. And in your weather forecast, the guy said that there shouldn't be much of any damage. And then worries about corn usage in the U.S., even though there's plentiful supplies of everything worldwide.
So do you anticipate turnaround Tuesday tomorrow?
I would expect a little bit of that. I don't know how much. We're all anticipating next Monday's report. Industry thinks it'll be positive for old crop beans and maybe neutral to new, and that it corn, no one knows, and wheat is just where are we at in the world and what's our wheat look like, and it's too dry in the wheat country.
Can old crop beans at this point help new crop beans on the report on Monday?
Probably not, but you never know. I mean, today we had new crop up 6, help being drugged by the old crop up 16.
So we have, let's see, 4 more trading days, and then the report. We do have a report after the bell on Friday, the hogs and pigs report, usually a sleeper, that one, but maybe not so much this time around.
Yeah, we've had a huge increase in hog and cattle prices, and the cattle was last week, hogs this week. We had hogs down $1 at the end of the day today and had been down $2 after the big move up. What's the report going to say? Will USDA have the information about the 5 million fewer pigs due to the disease, or will that come later? And that's a big question mark right now after the big move up.
And then we will also get farrowing intentions as well. And we'll also see what we suspect in that as hogs are being finished at a much bigger weight.
Yeah, much bigger weight, that makes more meat. And when we have corn that was cheaper, we could feed that and add 20 pounds. When you get higher priced corn, we've come up 70 to 80 cents here in the last month or two. I don't know if they can continue doing that.
So why are the funds adding to what has now become their long positions?
Well, they're extremely long in those positions and adding to it. And I don't know whether it's protecting or whether they think this report will continue to be in their favor. I really don't know why. Probably it's all technical. When you go through a number, it keeps telling that machine, buy, buy, buy.
So what are you telling hedgers ahead of the report this week?
We're protecting the bottom side with puts or put spreads. And if we get high enough, we're selling some new cash and finishing off old cash.
What kind of prices would you deem appropriate for a fair value on the rally?
Anything over 450 on December corn if you don't have much sold at cash. And on beans, 1150, which were available in the last few days. On wheat, anything up near the $7 mark. And that's been available in places also.
And with the futures doing what it's doing, I wouldn't think the basis wouldn't have to do very much. I mean, besides, it seems as though the basis has been weakening in recent sessions.
Basis has been weakening a lot. I mean, basis isn't near as good as it was a month ago, 2 months ago. So there has been sales made, especially the old crop corn, as we've gone up these 80, 90 cents.
Here are stories about difficult to get transportation, difficult to get trains. When you do get trains, elevators getting docked for this and that. Are you hearing the same?
Not really in the U.S. We hear that about Canada. That was the big news on the oats going crazy, in which they've now settled down. So you always have difficulty with terrains and ag. I think just some places have more trouble than others.
So at the end of the day and the end of the week, is this a week that we'll continue to see this kind of volatility throughout the week? I mean, we not only did we finish high, we had, I mean, you look at some of these ranges for example, you look at May beans, it was 1393 and a quarter all the way to 1432 and three quarters. Is this what we're going to look at for the balance of the week?
I think we're going to continue to see back and forth, but you got to remember that high today was 32 below last week's high and 36 below the week before's high. And we dropped 90 2 weeks ago after making the high. We dropped 60 last week after making the high. So it's not just going up and making a new high. It hasn't been able to make a new high in 3 weeks.
What about outside forces that are maybe influencing the market? Are you seeing anything there?
The Ukraine is still an outside influence. Worries about whether it'll end up shooting. I think that's a lot gone away, but that helped corn 20 cents and beans and wheat, especially wheat, a lot, just because of worries about will that supply be there. They're the number three exporter of both wheat and corn. Will that be there? Will they be able to grow it? Will they be able to plant it? Blah, blah, blah. All that in the news has helped support the wheat tremendously and the corn. China, they're trying to cancel and or resell stuff that they bought out of South America. They went too long to straight cancel. They've actually sold a bunch of loads of beans from South America they bought to U.S. market. They're expected to sell another 20 loads. And the thing about it is the people buying from the U.S., after buying them there and shipping them, are still making 40, 50 cents a bushel.
So maybe U.S. ending stocks aren't as bad as we might think they are.
Not if we buy 60 million bushel out of South America that China had already bought from them.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Thank you. That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois, filling in for Kurt Kimmel out of Bates today. But Bates Commodities joining us every Monday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. In agricultural news, China's manufacturing fell to an 8-month low in March, another sign of slowing growth in the world's number two economy. The preliminary version of HSBC's Purchasing Managers Index fell to 48.1 from February's 48.5. Readings above 50 indicate expansion. Factory output shrank at the fastest pace in 18 months. Drones may soon become a staple on U.S. farms. The Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, the trade group that represents producers and users of drones, predicts that 80% of the commercial market for drones will eventually be for agricultural use. The industry says it expects more than 100,000 jobs to be created and nearly $500 million in tax revenue to be generated collectively by 2025, much of it from agriculture. Drones, which range in cost from $2,000 for a plane the farmer puts together, for up to around $160,000 for a military-style device, are equipped with infrared cameras, sensors, and other technology controlled by a pilot on the ground. The planes allow farmers to do a variety of tasks, from identifying insect problems, watering issues, assessing crop yields, to tracking down cattle that have wandered off. Farmers can also use drones to tailor their use of pesticides, herbicides, fertilizer, and other applications based on how much is needed at a specific point in a field, a process known as precision agriculture. saving the grower money from unnecessarily overusing resources, while at the same time reducing the amount of runoff that could flow into nearby rivers and streams. Later this year, the FAA is expected to propose rules for drones weighing less than 55 pounds, a size which should cover most uses on the farm. A number of business economists expect the Federal Reserve to end its bond purchases this fall or even earlier. The consensus of the 48 economists surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics is that bad weather cut first quarter growth to a weak annual rate of 1.9%, but that growth could exceed 3% by year's end. Given the stronger growth forecast, 57% of the economists surveyed believe the Federal Reserve will end its bond purchases in the fourth quarter. Another quarter think it will happen even before that. Farm Futures Magazine today released its latest planting intentions for new crop corn and soybeans. Farm Futures estimates 2014 soybean intentions at a record 82.93 million acres that would easily be an all-time U.S. high. If achieved, seedings would be up 8.4% over last year's total. All key states showed increases, with some of the biggest shifts possible in Illinois, where farmers pushed corn on corn in recent years to capture profits from the ethanol boom. Farm Futures estimates corn planting intentions could fall to 92.06 million acres. That's down 3.5% from last year's lower-than-expected total, when farmers failed to put in more than 3.5 million acres of corn due to wet, cold conditions. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The new programs in the new farm bill should feel pretty familiar to row crop farmers in the Midwest. While they've changed some, farmers have been using earlier iterations of the underpinnings of ARC and PLC since 2008. Todd Gleason has more.
If the new farm programs sound familiar, they should. The way the titles work has changed some, but each is based on an existing program. For instance, ARC, or the Agricultural Risk Coverage Program for corn, soybeans, and wheat, is an update of ACRE, says University of Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
ARC is an extension of ACRE. It's a modification of ACRE, but in a lot of respects, it has many similarities to ACRE. They both base their guarantees on previous prices, previous yields, and previous prices. And as those prices go up and down and yields go up and down, so will that guarantee. So in concept, those two programs are very much alike.
ARC is a revenue protection program. It makes payments, roughly speaking, when price times yield or revenue falls below a five-year average.
In certain years, like the drought year would be a good example, ARC could make a payment because yields were low, but prices were high. And so the combination of those two could result in a payment, whereas if you had price loss coverage, prices were high, there would be no payment in that situation.
Price loss coverage, or PLC, is the other primary grain and oilseeds program in the new farm bill. Just as ARC sprang from ACRE, PLC should feel familiar too. It came from the countercyclical payments program.
Several of the differences is, one, there will be a higher target price, reference price under the new bill. It'd be $3.70 for corn, $8.60 for soybeans. So those are higher than under the 2008 farm bill. And they will make payments when the market year average price falls below that target or reference price. And they'll make payments on base yield, which will be set during the sign-up period, and that will either equal the current base yields or an average from 2008 through 2012 times 90%.
Base acres should sound familiar as well. PLC and ARC will use base acres rather than planted acreage in the payment calculations. Farmers will be able to update base acres and base yields sometime this summer. USDA is currently working to create the rules to guide the implementation of the new farm programs. The decision farmers make this summer about which program to use will last for the lifetime of the 2014 bill. Because the programs are based on Farm Service Agency farm numbers, it is possible to have farms enrolled in each program. The program follows the farm, should it be sold or transferred. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a discussion about basis and cash grain is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
So here's what I've been thinking a lot about lately, mold. Been thinking about mold lately. Corn got put away kind of wet, and it got cold and got frozen and thawed and frozen and thawed. And I'm wondering, the last bit of corn that comes in, is it going to be have some mold issues?
That's a good question. We probably won't know until the weather warms up so that we can find out. And Mother Nature, other than one day last Friday, is not giving us very many warm days. Not much in the forecast this week for warmer temperatures, although it is supposed to warm up a little bit towards the end of the week. But then I think it's supposed to get cold again next week. So, yes, definitely a concern, but we have not seen any problems yet.
And then that brings the question of having to blend it in order to ship it.
Well, hopefully we won't have to cross that bridge. Hopefully it'll stay in good condition. But if, you know, we'll do what we have to do to make sure that we get the grain moving on through the channels.
Yeah, but probably producers ought to take a good, hard, quick look as it warms up.
Yeah, well, yeah, since we're not going to be in the field for a couple of weeks anyway, it looks like, this would be a good time to do that. Although I did see some people in the fields in southern Illinois over the weekend, you know, putting on anhydrous and working some ground. So it's a little bit drier down there, and it's been a little bit warmer down there. So I guess we're not too far away from maybe being in the fields.
What is the insurance date for corn in this area?
April, right around 1st of April. I know it's that first week of April.
Yeah,
so
I was thinking April 3rd, 4th, 5th, somewhere in there.
Yes. So, but we can do anhydrous. We can
sure.
do tillage work ahead of that so and be ready for that April, whatever date it is.
So producers probably sold a whole bunch of corn on the pop, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Farmers continue to sell old crop corn, which reconfirms our suspicions that there was old crop corn out there to sell. And they're not selling old crop beans, which also confirms our suspicions that there's not too many old crop beans left to sell.
So with that in mind, what do you think USDA will do on the quarterly grain stock report? Because, look, 3 months ago we had this mystical 100 million bushels of corn that no one could figure out where it went.
Yeah, I know. Yes. They seem to find 100 or 200 million one quarter and then give it away, take it away the next 100, you know, the next quarter. So nobody knows. At least I don't know. And don't pretend to know. I know that's why we think it's just prudent to continue to sell into this. And if it goes higher, hopefully that'll drag the new crop up with it and you can sell some new crop. But I just think 2 months ago, corn was $4. In fact, some elevators around here were under $4. They had a 3 in front of their price. And now we've rallied 75, 80 cents. I just think the right thing to do is to, you know, take advantage of it, not sell all of it, but continue to sell into it.
Okay, then why don't we go ahead and get your prices for today? It seems like a good tone to do it on.
All right. Cash corn is 476 for old crop. New crop is 463. Cash beans are 1435. New beans are 1164. And new crop wheat is 697.
Thank you much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons out of Champaign, Illinois. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather. It's National Chocolate Covered Raisins Day. Historians say somewhere around 1000 BC, the first vineyards for raisins were established in Persia. Trade routes brought raisins to Greece and Rome, where they were eaten in large quantities. But it was not until the 11th century that raisins made a splash in Europe, when knights, returning from the Crusades, brought raisins home with them. By the way, it takes 4 tons of grapes to make 1 ton of raisins. On this day in agricultural history in 1765, the British Parliament passed the Quartering Act, which required American colonists to provide temporary quarters, food, alcohol, fire, candles, vinegar, salt, bedding, and utensils to British troops stationed in their towns in times of peace. The act was circumvented in all colonies other than Pennsylvania. In 1802, a patent was issued for the first full-sized road locomotive. It traveled in South Wales over 9 miles at a speed of 5 miles per hour, and it could pull a 10-ton load, 5 wagons, and 70 men. In 1896, Clement Hardy received a patent for the rotary disc plow. His patent described a rotary disc plow constructed with one or more plowing discs arranged diagonally to the line of draft and supported by furrow and land side wheels and a suitable metal or wooden frame. In 1989, on this date, the worst oil spill in U.S. history occurred as the Exxon Valdez ran aground in Alaska's Prime William Sound and eventually leaked 11 million gallons of crude oil. And that's this day in agricultural history. This is the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, everybody wants to know is when is it going to warm up so folks can get to the field? Heard from Greg Johnson of the Andersons, he says they're already scratching around with anhydrous and getting prepared in southern Illinois.
Yeah, with the pattern we're going to see here over the next couple weeks, Dave, is a kind of classic springtime pattern across not only Illinois but the entire Corn Belt. Temperatures will be on a roller coaster ride. What we're seeing right now and will continue for the next 3 days, temperatures will be colder than normal with highs generally in the 30s. And 40s, with then low temperatures in the 20s, even some teens up north here for tomorrow morning. That will change, and we will see about a stretch of about 5 days of normal to even slightly above normal temperatures. For example, here coming up for the upcoming weekend, we see high temperatures climbing up to the 60s as far north as Chicago, 70s in the St. Louis area, and across barely kissing 70 there in central Illinois. And so that will continue into the early part of next week before then temperatures cool down after that. So for this time of year, Dave, that's pretty spring-like. And along with that will come some rain activity, primarily when we kind of in between these changes in the temperatures. As it looks right now, the pattern will feature at least the next opportunity for rain will be coming up here Thursday and Friday, and then again during the early part of next week and again the latter part of next week. So there will be some breaks kind of in between storm systems. So if there's any field work that's going to be accomplished here, it's not going to be quite rapid, but then again, it's not going to be totally bogged down either.
So the soil's going to warm up like in fits and starts, essentially.
Exactly. It's not like, certainly not going the route of 2 years ago where our soil temperatures already by this time of March had reached more than optimum levels here for corn planting. Yeah, this year is much different following the cold winter, but certainly with these mini stretches of warmth here, that will improve things rather than be consistently cold. So overall, kind of an upward and onward trend.
The precip event at the end of the week, how widespread?
We do see widespread rains on the order of about 75-80% coverage of the entire Corn Belt, and that's going to encompass the vast majority of Illinois. In particular, precip totals in the range of about 0.5 to 1.5 inches. Could be some localized heavier amounts here. But then following that, we do see about 3-4 days of dry weather.
30 seconds later, left or so, will it be a wet spring?
Well, we continue to work on that research, Dave. The one thing that's at least beginning to become a little clearer is the temperature profile into April, and it looks like while the start of April we'll see a little bit of a break here, we do expect some cooler weather to return, so we're thinking a cooler bias overall for the Corn Belt for April, and still working on precip expectations at this time.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, and that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.